You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. Whoa, oh, oh, oh.
The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One. It's 17 to 10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Right, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello and welcome to the Punt Podcast here at William Hill, another edition of The Punt, because the football just keeps on coming. Alex Dunn in the presenter's chair this time around, and we're looking ahead to Saturday and Sunday's games. We've got four televised games to go at in total, and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by the one and only Derek McGovern. Thank goodness there's only one of you, Derek.
Indeed, yes, it couldn't be two. I'm still trying to recover from the shock of seeing Fabinho for Liverpool wearing gloves on the warmest Boxing Day in history, even for Rio, I would imagine.
And Medvedev have a snood on as well at some stage, I think, yesterday.
Medvedev did, yeah.
Dear me. You may have heard the dulcet tones of Andy Dunn there as well. Good morning, Andy.
Morning.
How's things?
Yeah, all good, thank you.
Good. To be fair, Derek, I'm still getting over the fact that Fabinho scored against my team. Which has he scored for Liverpool yet? Before that,
I don't think he has. Actually, Andy will know. Yeah. Was that his first goal, Andy?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Had to happen at some point, didn't it? Right. Well, we'll start by talking about Liverpool then, because they are top of the tree, and it's gone from being they might be top at Christmas to hang on, they may have just nicked a bit of a lead here with Man City floundering of late. Things are looking rather rosy for Mr. Klopp, aren't they, Derek?
They are. I didn't think they could win the league. Even when City lost against Palace, I thought they'd probably still come back. But now, three defeats in the last four for City, and they don't seem to have recovered from that first of those defeats against Chelsea and Liverpool. Just keep picking up the points without, in my eyes, playing particularly well. It's taken me back to when Man United won the league. I think it was Fergie's last season in charge, and they kept on winning. I kept watching them thinking, how are this team winning games? They're not doing anything and they keep on winning. Well, Liverpool are doing exactly the same, and all of a sudden I'm beginning to believe.
Yeah, it's been clean sheets galore, hasn't it? That's been the secret of their success, if you like, Andy. And of course, we're going to touch on their game against Arsenal in a few minutes, but they've got two massive tests coming up now in Arsenal and then Man City.
Oh yeah, two big games, but you know, the points difference now is such that that Man City-Liverpool game, you know, might not be as big a turning point as we imagined. You know, they might well go there with a 10-point gap over City. You know, they beat Arsenal on Saturday, and City, in their current form, by no means certainties to go and win at Southampton on the Sunday, the following day, when, you know, they might be under a bit of pressure. So that game actually might not be as crucial as we thought. And you're right, the clean sheets, you know, defensively, they've been fantastic. I mean, absolutely fantastic. I mean, I thought there was never a more hyped-up defender than Virgil van Dijk, but even I'm beginning to think that he's a good defender. And I'm the biggest cynic on that, but I've seen him since he was at Celtic, and I thought, yeah, he's okay. He's one of these defenders, he's a great pointer. He loves pointing at everyone and sort of organising, and actually looks good. But I always used to think that he was a little bit weak, a little bit positionally suspect. But listen, he's at the heart of a defence that is just not conceding any goals. It's unbelievable. And you're also getting to the stage where, I'm not saying Newcastle are like this, but where Liverpool are now such a formidable rival, do you getting teams going there or playing them? And actually, you know, teams in the lower half of the league almost writing the game off in preparation for bigger games ahead. And I got the feeling that's what Newcastle did. That's what happens in this Premier League at times. You know, they go, it comes to the second half of the season, and you might get a team like Newcastle saying, you know what, you know, deep down, we're thinking we've got more of a chance at whatever they play on Saturday, Watford away, aren't they, than we have at Anfield. And so they've got that holding, that power over the teams at the moment. And I had them, I looked at the odds last week, and City were still odds on probably, I think, 4-9. and Liverpool were 15-8, and that's what I would imagine flipped round now. And I thought at the time that they're a great bet. How can you not back against a team that just isn't losing games?
Liverpool are now odds on 4-6. Man City are 13-8. Spurs 8-1 to win the Premier League.
But Man City 13-8. I mean, really, that short. You know, they're losing ground. They're behind Spurs. They're behind Liverpool. Pep sounds as though he sounds like he's sort of scratching around for reasons why this has happened. And for once, he looks a bit flummoxed. So I think that's plenty short enough for Man City, that one.
Hmm. We'll touch on Man City in a little more detail later on. As for Spurs, Derek, they are sort of the forgotten team in the title race, but they have to be considered. They're 8-1, and they've been scoring goals for fun so far over Christmas.
Well, they have. And while you were talking about Virgil van Dijk there, I look at the Player of the Year betting, and van Dijk has suddenly become famous. He's 11-4 with Hill to be the PFA Player of the Year. Now, I was looking down a list, had a bit of a chuckle at Mo Salah, 6-1. He's been absolutely appalling all season. One player who's not there, not in the betting, Heung-min Son for Spurs. Mm. What a player that guy is. Every time I see him on telly, he looks superb. The sun always shines on TV. He's the most underrated player. Most underrated player in the Premier League, season after season. And if you can get... He's not in the betting, and it goes up to 50-1 with Hills. If you can get 50-1 for him to be PFA Player of the Year, I'd be on that. Virgil van Dijk probably is a deserved favourite, but defenders never win it, do they?
They don't. John Terry, the last defender to win the PFA Player of the Year in mid-2000s. And actually, our Player of the Year, the Football Writers Footballer of the Year, who was the last defender to win that title? I'll give you a clue. It was in 1989.
Oh, God.
That was the last time a defender won the Footballer of the Year award. And we'd be here all day, but I'll tell you who it was Steve Nicol.
All right, yes, Steve.
That was the last defender. We don't pick defenders. And the PFA Player of the Year is very rarely a defender. As I say, I think John Terry did win it, but he was the last one. And you're right. But, I mean, Virgil van Dijk, I don't know if there's just something, you know, he's got a bit of a momentum behind him. But I agree with John Son. Absolutely fantastic player. You know, that finish the other day against Everton when Pickford, you know, another calamity from Pickford. And it looked like he had an open goal, but it's a great finish.
Mm.
He is some player, you're right.
Yeah, he's one hell of a player, and they put 5 past Bournemouth on Boxing Day, having put 6 past Everton, and they're looking pretty formidable at the moment as well. So plenty to go at the top of the table. I just want to mention one team at the bottom, because, Derek, we spoke a few weeks ago on next manager to go markets, and you mentioned Sean Dyche, and there still isn't much of a clamour for him to be pushed out of the Burnley hot seat, but they are not having a good time of things, and... They're not scoring, and they're conceding plenty. That was emphasised on Boxing Day when Everton put 5 past them.
Yeah, 3 up after about 10 minutes, weren't they, Everton? Mm. And, you know, this is an Everton who's just been paced by Spurs. It doesn't look good, and I can't believe that. I mean, he's got a lot of goodwill in the bank, Sean Dyche, what he's done for Burnley in the past, but under him right now, Burnley going nowhere other than down.
Yeah, they are struggling, but there's still a lot of games to be played and a lot of bad teams as well in the Premier League, so... we shall see relegation markets to follow a little bit later on. Right, we start, though, with Liverpool-Arsenal, the 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. What a game in prospect as well. Liverpool are 47-100, or nearly twos on. 15-4 the draw. It's 11-2 for Arsenal. For all that we've been extolling the virtues of Liverpool on this podcast, Eric, do they deserve to be twos on against Arsenal?
Well... I did think it was a bit tight when I looked at that, but then this is before I saw Arsenal against Brighton on Boxing Day, and they were absolutely appalling. I thought Arsenal, if Liverpool don't win this, I'll consider giving up either betting or sex, depending on which is costing me more, because Arsenal traditionally lose at Anfield. They traditionally lose to Liverpool wherever it is these days, and that defence of Arsenal's, Andy was talking about Liverpool's defence being watertight. Well, whatever the opposite of watertight is, Arsenal's is like that. They were atrocious against Brighton. I always thought Brighton were going to score even when Arsenal went 1-0. And yet, Arsenal might well score against Liverpool at Anfield, but Liverpool will score more. I think they're real good things here. Two tough away games for Arsenal. Brighton on Boxing Day, followed by Liverpool. They've got Fulham at home next week, so they can look forward, their fans, to a quiet read of the Spectator and a nice cappuccino while they're watching that one. But he won't be getting much fun at Anfield. Liverpool asserts.
Okay. It's interesting, Andy, that Jurgen Klopp didn't rotate particularly against Newcastle, played his strongest side when you've got Arsenal and Man City coming up. That seemed to me the perfect opportunity for the likes of Moreno and Origi perhaps to start and Sturridge, but that wasn't the case.
No, no, no. Well, I think he's banking on the fact that they've got such great momentum at the moment. Why stop that? And, you know, I mean, Newcastle home was never going to be the toughest task, with all respect. So, you know, the guys just, you know, he obviously sees them in training, thinks they're fit enough to keep playing and just keep this momentum going. And, you know, they're playing Saturday night, so that's not too bad. And I'm with Derek on this. I mean, I just cannot see anything other than a Liverpool win. I mean, I think two's on. It's probably a fair reflection of the form of those two teams. I think the job that Emery's done at Arsenal so far, I think the jury's got to be out. It's overrated. I suspect, and I haven't got this stat off in front of me, but I think they're probably only about 2 or 3 points better off than they were at this stage of last season, and everyone's been saying what a fantastic job he's done. I personally think that we'll wait and see. They look to me like a team that are always going to concede. I again agree with Derek on that one. Nothing other than a Liverpool win and a convincing win, I think, on Saturday.
Okay. Could you give Arsenal a goal?
Well, yeah, I mean, no, to be honest with you, I mean, yeah, listen, they have got, obviously, going forward, and he's a great finisher, Aubameyang, and they might nick one. I don't see Liverpool conceding, that's the thing. As good as Arsenal might be on the counter-attack, I do not see Liverpool conceding.
What about you, Derek?
Well, I think Aubameyang is a tremendous player. And, you know, every time I look at him, he impresses me. And the other guy's not too bad either, Lacazette. Yeah, I've got a feeling Arsenal will score, but Liverpool will probably get 3 or 4.
OK, 17-10 for Liverpool to win to nil, by the way. If you like Liverpool to win and both teams to score, that's priced up at 17-10 as well. And both teams to score on its own, 8-13, yes, and no is 6-5. But hard to see past Liverpool on Saturday evening. We've got 3 televised games to look forward to on Sunday. We'll start with the noon kickoff between Palace and Chelsea. Palace come here having gone to Man City, Andy, and won, and then follow that up with a bit of a disappointing 0-0 draw at home to Cardiff. Chelsea, on the other hand, well, I don't really know what to make of them. They're sort of stumbling into the Champions League as things stand. On their day, they're fantastic, but they're 7-10 to win away from home here. The draw 11-4, and Palace are 17-4.
Yeah, Palace home form isn't great, you know, so that draw with Cardiff probably not a surprise. Chelsea are looking more and more like a team that, you know, we thought that this Sarri ball was a great way of playing and they looked exciting. They've become a little bit more reliant now on Eden Hazard, but what a player to rely on. You know, he was the difference at Watford, and I suspect it'll be the difference again on Sunday. I think that's quite good value for Chelsea. I think Chelsea will go to Palace and win, and with Hazard seemingly happy and in this sort of form, not being distracted by any talk of any moves away, said he wants to be a Chelsea legend. That's probably the best news that Chelsea have had for a while. So I see a Chelsea win there at Palace.
7-10 for Chelsea to win. It's interesting, Derek, that Eden Hazard is now playing as a false nine for Chelsea when he struck up such a good relationship with Olivier Giroud. It hasn't really affected Hazard's performances as such. But as far as the team goes, I'm still convinced that Chelsea are better when they do have a focal point.
Well, he could play up front on his own any time, couldn't he? He's a tremendous player. Andy's saying the best news is that he's not looking for a move away. Well, the worst news for Chelsea is that I'm going for them big time this weekend, I think. The times you have to bet like men, providing your missus allows it, and this is all of those times. I'd take my reputation as a tipster on Chelsea at 7-10 here if I had one. I think they're absolute certainties. They've won at Huddersfield this season. They've won at Newcastle. They've won at Southampton, Burnley, Brighton and Watford. Why on earth shouldn't they win at Palace? Absolute certainties. I can't explain Palace's win at City, just as I can't explain how Roy Hodgson is still a Premier League manager. But Chelsea will win this.
Okay. Derek McGovern in taking on Roy Hodgson, shocker there.
Yeah. He did more for Liverpool as Crystal Palace manager, Roy Hodgson, than he ever did at Liverpool.
7-10 Chelsea. And if you fancy Chelsea and both teams to score, that's priced up at 9-4. If you are looking to back Eden Hazard at any time, he's 5-4 or 4-1 to open the scoring. But hang fire for team news, as ever, with a lot of games coming up off the back of each other. Maybe a little bit of rotation around, and Chelsea had a few injury problems against Watford on Boxing Day. But that game coming up at noon on Sunday, and is followed by Southampton against Man City. Now, I said that I'd read out some relegation markets. I'm not going to do that because we're recording this before Southampton have played West Ham. So do factor that in. Southampton 17-2, the draw is 17-4, and Man City 32-100 as things stand. Now, we said that we'd talk a little more in detail about Man City, Derek, and they are, well, they're sort of coming off the rails a little bit. What has happened there?
You'd have to have been a turkey or me to have had a worse Christmas than City. It's just incredible. I mean, that result against Chelsea a few weeks ago when they lost 2-0. You know, no shame in losing to Chelsea. It was a bit of a blow for City, but no real shame. But you look back at that game, and when I watched the first half, I thought, City looked like a Premier League team. Chelsea looked like a non-league team in that first half. And then when City went behind just on the stroke of half-time, they couldn't recover from it. They never looked like recovering. And since then, their season has gone into tailspin. I don't understand why. And if Southampton carry on like the way they're playing it right now, we know what's going to happen. Liverpool will buy even more of their players. I mean, the turnaround under this new manager has been incredible. And this is an interesting fixture, this, because, you know, City are being priced up 1-3, like they haven't had this stumble, but they have, and they're lacking in confidence. And Southampton are being priced up like they haven't got this new manager, and they've won the last two games. I'm almost tempted to go for Southampton here, you know. And let me throw a little stat at you. Remember the year Leicester won the title, what, two seasons ago, was it, or three? I can't remember now. Right. How many points ahead of Southampton did Manchester City finish, given that City were right in their title mix until they fell away near the end? How many points behind City were Southampton that season?
15?
Three.
No.
3 points behind City. Southampton finished above Liverpool that season. How quickly we all forget. So, you know, everybody seems to think Southampton are one of these mug teams. They're always in the relegation battle. They were finishing sixth a few seasons ago. I don't know. There's something about this fixture. But I think if you're ever going to back Southampton to beat City, it's got to be this weekend, and you're getting a tasty price for it as well. I'm going to go for Southampton here.
Okay, 17-2 Southampton. Of course, Andy, it's difficult to talk about the Saints in too much detail as they are playing tonight as we record this. But they have had, as far as we can talk now, that new manager bounce, haven't they?
About the bounce effect, yeah. You know, he looks an interesting character, and he's certainly enlivened him. I mean, they couldn't go any less lively, to be fair. And I'm absolutely with Dell on this one. I think that's great value, that and the draw against a City team, you know, who really are at the moment. I look at them and I think that game against Chelsea that Derek referenced there, after they went down, their physical level dropped, and I just think they've got some physical issues there, and the intensity with which they play means you're going to start picking up injuries. Fernandinho being out injured, you know, has been absolutely, you know, he's been fundamental to their success, and they miss him. Benjamin Mendy keeps getting injured, he's out long term. You know, you've only got Aguero and De Bruyne are coming back from injuries, and they look a bit sluggish and a bit sort of weary of getting injured again. So I think Southampton, they've had that bounce effect. You can see, you can see how much he's lifted them. And I think, you know, City will be going there. Their confidence very, very low. And I think you can expect a really, really strong Southampton showing. I think that's great value.
It's 6-1 Southampton draw, no bet as well, and 12-5 for Southampton or the draw. So big prices if you are siding with the home side in that game on Sunday. The final televised game is Manchester United against Bournemouth. Man U are 3-1 on, the draw 17-4, Bournemouth are 8-1. Talking of bounce factors, Andy, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has gone back into Old Trafford and is 2-2 so far.
Yeah, 2-2, Cardiff and obviously Huddersfield yesterday. So, you know, that run of fixtures the over Christmas, Cardiff, Huddersfield, Bournemouth and then Newcastle. That's why you actually thought, well, you know, they might give Jose that time. But on the flip side, they're probably thinking, well, we can get anyone in now to manage these games and the players will lift themselves. Listen, I mean, I suppose you could look at it as an indictment of those players who were performing so poorly under Jose Mourinho that they now look as though a weight's been lifted off their shoulders and they're loving it again. They're all tweeting how great it is now. You know, they probably should have, you know, lifted a finger for the fans, never mind Jose Mourinho. But having said that, you can't deny that he's had an effect, and they now look as though they're enjoying themselves. You know, and Paul Pogba. I mean, that was the downfall of Mourinho in a sense, wasn't it? That game at Liverpool when they had to bring on a midfielder half-time because he was taking Dalot off from right back, playing forward at the back, wants to bring on an extra midfielder, and he brings on Fellaini ahead of Pogba, and then Pogba doesn't even get on. Mm. You can't tell me that the Pogba is further down the pecking order than Marouane Fellaini. And Solskjaer's just done a simple thing. He's come in, just said, right, you know, you're playing, and they've gone out there, enjoy themselves. And you can't see, you know, as much as we fancy Southampton for a bit of an upset, you cannot see Bournemouth getting anything at Old Trafford. Nothing at all.
Okay.
I suspect it'll be another 3-4 for Manchester United.
You mentioned Pogba there. He's 7-5 to score any time, having bagged a couple against Huddersfield. Let's just talk about Bournemouth for a second, Derek, because after a decent start to the season, they've now lost 7 of 9 in the league. They don't draw games, and they've stopped scoring as well.
And yet they're still 11th. Mm. How's that happened? How bad is this league that you can lose 7 of 9 and still be in 11th? It's ridiculous. And I said a couple of weeks ago on this bulletin that Bournemouth is one of those teams that when they lose heavily. You know, look, Everton, a similar kind of team, perhaps. They're not going to get pasted by anybody, well, apart from Spurs. But Bournemouth, you know, I've got it in them. You know, 7 of 9 get Premier League games losing, and they haven't played big teams in all of in that run. You know, they've played some mug teams as well. But I still can't bring myself to back Man United at these odds. I've seen enough of them this season to know that they're not a great side. But, yeah. I mean, you could have got me as manager and you know, sparked an upturn in fortune, given the way they were playing and given those fixtures, Cardiff and Huddersfield. I noticed that Ryan Giggs was saying in one of the papers today that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer used to take notes of Alex Ferguson when he was, you know, a substitute at Old Trafford. Those notes was, yeah, 3 bottles of whiskey and 2 bottles of wine, please, Ollie. That'll do nicely. I just can't believe that this is a manager with a long-term future in the Premier League, given that he's been managing somewhere in the tundra in Norway. I just can't bring myself to back Man United at 1-3 is what I'm saying. And Bournemouth are a funny side that they'll win when you least expect it. I'm not going to go for them to win outright, but I'm going to go for them with a goal start. They're 8-1 to win outright. I'm going to go with them with a goal start, which I think is around the 11-4 mark. Am I right in that?
11-5.
Sorry, yeah. I'll have a go at that.
Okay. Bournemouth plus a goal then for Derek in that one. Let's talk best bets then around the whole of the games coming up on Saturday and Sunday. Derek, if I was to ask you for your best bet, what would it be?
Well, it's a tough fixture list this weekend. Nothing leaping off the page at me. And I can't. I looked to oppose Burnley, but they're playing West Ham, and West Ham are in action on Thursday night and just come off a defeat. Not sure about that one. It's a tough one, isn't it, this weekend? I think I'll probably go for Huddersfield at 3-1 to win at Fulham. Not because I think Huddersfield are any great shakes, but no one should be 3-1 to win at Fulham.
OK, Huddersfield at 3-1. Andy, is there anything that stood out for you?
Well, I take the opposite line to Dell and United at home to Bournemouth. Now you've mentioned about Pogba scoring, I would have that bet, Pogba scoring any time. But I would have United to win. I don't know what the odds would be, but certainly by 2 clear goals, absolute certain.
Okay, Man United minus 1 goal is 4-5, minus 2 is 11-5. So we'll put Man U minus a goal, 4-5 in as the nap for Andy. And, what am I going to go for here? Do you know what? I did fancy Fulham, but Derek has gone against me on that one just because Huddersfield are awful. But as you said, Fulham, you can't really trust. I will go for a pro Brighton bet against Everton because Everton are overhyped massively. And yes, they've gone to Burnley and won, but Brighton at home are pretty solid and they shouldn't be as big as 12-5. I'll go Brighton draw no bet at 11-8. So they're the three fancies. Huddersfield 3-1. Man U managed to go 4-5. Brighton 11-8 in the Premier League. Good luck if you're following us in on that. Treble pays 16-1. Thank you, Mr. McGovern.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Mr. Dunn.
No problem.
And a whole host of action still to look forward to, of course, in the Championship and League One and League Two and across Europe.
Hi, I'm John Gibby, and this week we go to Italy for the Euronap and Serie A, and fans of Parma will certainly be glad that they managed to upset Fiorentina last week, especially as that 1-0 victory snapped a run of four games without a win. However, they face a very different challenge here as they return to home turf and welcome Roma, who currently lie seventh in the table. The fact that Roma are playing away from home, I think, could be key to this fixture. They don't travel especially well. They've won only one away game in the league since the first day of the season. They may lack the quality of their visitors, Parma, and just in the final third can sometimes be their undoing, but Roma are not the same beast away from the Stadio Olimpico, and I think at 4-1, Parma could be the value here.
Hi, my name's Pete Farries, and after a couple of losing naps, I'm hoping to get back to winning ways by looking at Sheffield United and both teams to score at 23-10. They're taking on a Blackburn Rovers side who have been hit late twice in a row by both Norwich and Leeds, and also a side who away from home do score plenty of goals, scored at West Brom, Preston, Wigan, Middlesbrough, Leeds recently. You can go even further back against Swansea, against Bolton, against Stoke, against Bristol City, against Hull, against Ipswich. They've scored in all but one away game this season. But they are, at the moment, away from home struggling. Three losses from four. And yes, Sheffield United's form at home has seen just two wins from the last five, but the games they didn't win were a draw, of course, in the derby game against Sheffield Wednesday, a loss to Leeds, a loss to West Brom, neither of which are shameful. So I'm definitely going to take Sheffield United and both teams to score here. They got a good win against Derby, where this landed as well on Boxing Day. 23-10 for me. Very best of luck and a happy new year. Let's hear from Gab Puszczalski on his thoughts on League One.
My nap this weekend in League One seems relatively simple for what you are getting. A side at home who have won 4 in 5 against a side away from home who have lost 4 in 5. One of the sides who would lay claim to be one of the best teams in the division against a side who definitely are not. Step forward, Sunderland at 5-6 to win at home to Shrewsbury. Could be a lot shorter, Sunderland. The interesting thing with Shrewsbury away from home, though, is both teams to score has landed in their last three games. In fact, four games on their travels, but three of those have been defeats. And here's the very interesting thing with Shrewsbury. In those last four games for Shrewsbury on the travels, they have scored the final goal of the game. So if you can look at Shrewsbury to score the final goal of the game, that could be an interesting bet. But Sunderland to win 5-6. Bump up the price with Sunderland and both teams to score if you fancy at 14-5. But my nap this Saturday is Sunderland at 5-6. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
Everyone will tell you that Macclesfield are resurgent under Sol Campbell, and they're largely right. They're off the bottom. They beat Notts County away on Boxing Day to register just a second win and a third non-defeat on the road this season. And yes, it is 4 wins in 6, but there's no way I can back them on Saturday, and that's because they are at Carlisle. So Macclesfield have wins over Notts County, Crawley, Exeter and Yeovil recently, but that's one thing. Three of those were at home, though. Three of those were against sides also in the bottom seven. Winning at Carlisle, that is going to be 10 times harder. Why? Because Carlisle, well, they beat Oldham 6-0 on Boxing Day. Oldham at 12th. They scored 3 in a win at Crawley last Saturday, and they beat Colchester 4-0 in their previous home game. Colchester, by the way, are 4th. Now, Carlisle for this game, 13-20. That is an absolutely fine Acca price, but it's Christmas. 2 goals conceded and 13 scored in the last 3 games. Yates 6-4 and Granger 18-5 anytime, scored in all 3 of those. And -1 on the handicaps has to be the nap. That is a present worthy of Santa himself. -1 on Carlisle is 9-5.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.